We've been going through a series called The Keys to Practical Living. I just have been enjoying this. I've felt so led to continue this on. I tell you, this is how I do it. I go after a service and I would start praying and I have stuff laid out for weeks ahead. And I'd say, God, you know, I'm good with this one. Let's move on. And God always comes back and tells me what he wants done. And, you know, and that's good with me. And I listen and God's still on my heart about moving forward with the keys to practical living. And today we're going to talk about challenges or challenge of change. But let's do a quick review of what we talked about last week. If you were here, we talked about some keys to leaving a comfort zone. Many of us live in this thing I call the comfort zone. And I told you last week I've lived there and we all do. And there's reasons why we don't move out of the comfort zone. One is fear. It's just we're afraid. You know, some of us are just lazy. We just don't want to do what it takes to move from where we're at to maybe where God wants us to be, and because it takes some work, and we just don't want to do it. Sometimes we just get lazy. I know I've done that. And then the big one that God really has issue with is our excuses. We are really good at making excuses, right? We're really good at that. We make an excuse for anything we just don't want to do, you know, and we're good at that. And those are the three big ones, and there's others, but those are the three I talked about last week. And I talked about how do we then move past the comfort zone? How do we get out of it? Just practical living things based on the Word of God. How do we get out of this comfort zone that we're entrenched in, and we get the stirring? And again, some people just can live there a long time, and I'm a change guy. I don't mind change. My wife is the exact opposite. She doesn't like change. That's okay. Opposites attract, right? So, you know, when I want to move and change, she holds me back. And when I think we need to change, you know, and she needs motivated, I motivate her for change. I think that works out really well. She's kind of my you know, calming influence. It keeps me from doing too much at once. And I'm her motivator, says, okay, it's time to go. It's time to make a change, right? But here's a few points we talked about last week, just as we move into the sermon for today. But a few things that I talked about moving past your comfort zone. And let me read them to you. The first one we talked about was examining who you are and where you are. I do that a lot. You ask my wife if I examine, and she'll tell you, you do that way too much. See, there's that, you know, that you know, back and forth thing that really helps us. And accept that you cannot become what you want to become by remaining who you are. So you can't go to the next level or change seasons or move to the other, you know, unless you accept who you are and where you're at. And you have to accept the fact that you got to make some changes to go someplace else. If you want that new promotion at Jobs and they say, well, you've got to relocate down to Cincinnati. If you want that job and that's where the job is, you've got to decide if I can handle that relocation down the center or wherever it is, if that's the job that God has for you, right? Or you could stay in your comfort zone. Pastors go through this all the time. Pastors go through this a lot because when they get really comfortable, God doesn't like pastors getting a whole lot comfortable in situations, and then God moves them. It says, okay, you're too comfortable. Because comfort really gets us into a mode of we don't do as much as what we can do. And pastors, I see this all the time. And pastors get motivated, and then they get in this comfort zone, it seems like, and they really things are really good. I know a pastor, good friend of mine, who had that situation. And he had a big church and 500-600 people. And he was there for years, but the church was just clicking right along. For a church that size in the small community, he was really comfortable. And he just told me, he says, God just started stirring in my heart. I need to make a change. And after a year and a half, finally, he just made the change. He just said, I had everything that a pastor would want to have at a church. It was huge. 500-600 people is a good-sized church. You know that. And the building and the grounds and the campus was just beautiful. The people were awesome. The worship was awesome. You know exactly what church I'm talking about. The worship was awesome. The preaching was awesome. Well, he's my friend. It wasn't that good. But it was good. He's my friend. It was just good. And he got into this comfort zone, and God started stirring in his heart. You know, you're kind of comfortable here. I've given you all this, and things are good. And he said, you know, I want you doing something else now. He could have stayed there, but God moved him on The second thing we talked about last week was let go of what holds you back. There comes a point, a time, when you have to realize that what you have been doing is no longer working, and you need to let go. Change what you've been doing and then do something else. And I'm going to use this job scenario. It's really, you know, you get into these job situations that just are so comfortable. Pays good, the hours are good, and whatnot, but you get so entrenched in this job and, wow, it's so comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not saying if you're in a job a long time that you got to leave it. I'm just saying that when something other comes along, sometimes we don't see what God has for us because we're so comfortable with what we have. That's all I'm saying, right? The third thing is out with the old, in with the new. We talked about that. Forget the way things used to be done and do something that has never been done is what we talked about. Out with the old, in with the new. Do something that you just haven't done before. The church here at Calvary Church, we're doing things that we've not done before that I know of. In a few couple of months, we're going to worship someplace you've never worshiped before. That'll be new. You'll get coffee in the back and some donuts and some really good cookies. Really good cookies, right? Really good cookies. You'll have a place there to fellowship and sit down, and we'll have our own Dunkin' Donuts place. So whoever's leading that life group can sit there and have a class right there maybe and lead and talk and study and do whatever they do. So for those that are gifted in coffee, you'll need to see me. Right? The fourth thing we talked about was good habits will move you up and out, or the bad habits will bring you down. We talked about that. Good habits in our lives move you. Bad habits restrain you. Right? Everything you're doing in your life right now, you have a habit of doing. I like the habit you have of coming to church at Calvary Church at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. I like the habits we form when we start going back to our Sunday morning learning classes at 9 o'clock. Ken would love to see more people. Rhonda wants to have a bunch of people. I know a couple of you are praying about doing a class. We appreciate that. Continue to pray and let me know. But you get in these habits. By the same token, what you're not doing right now, you're in a habit of not doing. That's a habit. That's a comfort zone. It's a habit. Pastor, I don't do that. I've never done that. Good. You're the person I need. That's the way God works. God doesn't want to leave you entrenched of right where you're at. He wants to come in and say, well, okay, it's time to stir some things up, and I need you to do this. Your pastor needs three people to lead life groups in this church. Three leaders. And I'm believing, and most pastors don't like to speak publicly about stuff like this. They like to launch their new ministries and go to people and privately say, would you consider this? But for some reason, God said, no, I want you to make the announcement, and I want it to be today. And I prayed over that, and I said, okay. I'll do that. So there's three people here that's being led to lead a life group and launch this ministry, which is the number one ministry in the world to reach the lost today. Is there somebody here that wants to reach the lost and can? Come see me. But those are good habits. Pastor, I've never led a life group. Good, you're the person I need. You're a leader. You're a teacher. You're a leader. You can do it. And the only way to change a habit of not doing something is to start doing it. We talked about that. The fifth thing is create a new circle. You know, your friends and your family put you in a comfort zone. If those friends and family are not encouraging you, but they're discouraging you, you need to create a new circle of friends. They get you in this comfort zone because they didn't like where you're at. They like where you're at. They like where they're at. And if you're feeling led by God to do something else and they hold you back, see, when someone tells me, God's speaking to me, Pastor, I listen to that. But then the Bible says the fruit of that will come out. You'll see that. You'll see that, right? Create a new circle. The last thing was keep yourself motivated during the exit from your comfort zone. Because the enemy doesn't want us leaving these comfort zones. Because when we're comfortable, we're not doing a whole lot different things. We're doing the same things. Maybe that's okay, but maybe God wants something different for you. Maybe God wants a new season for you, and we talked about that. So when you're moving out of your comfort zone, there's some things you want to do to continue to motivate yourself to move in that direction. And we talked about that. But today, I want to talk to you about, just for a few minutes, it's not going to be long, about the challenges of that change. The challenges. There's only three big keys to practical living challenges that I'm going to talk to you about today, but they are huge. And I know that they're going to hit you right between the eyes. And I know that's going to happen. It did to me. As I was doing my study, I just looked at this and I thought, Lord, are you speaking directly to me with this? Is this me? Is this where I am as far as getting challenged to make some changes? But I know it's going to be somebody here as well. Here's a quote for you. We got to start. We talked about this last week. The greatest risk we face in life is the risk of not taking the chance. We get entrenched in our comfort zones and we don't want to venture out. But change is difficult. Anyone who has habitually conducted their lives in a manner or one manner will find it challenging to choose a different path, another way to act, or another way to think. It will take some effort to move you from where you're at to where God wants you to end up. You know, successful people don't have less challenging situations. You know, people have told me in the past, and I've taught leadership development in the past, and they'd say, well, successful people, they don't have the challenges that I have. And I would say, no, that's not necessarily true. They may have more challenges. Successful people don't have less challenging lives than those who aren't successful in their mind at that time. In fact, they may go through even greater challenges. What causes the separation? Successful people respond differently to the difficulties of change. See, to be successful, you have to look at the change and know how to navigate the change and be willing to navigate the change to get to where God wants you to be. Do you think it's going to be an easy transition to get there? If it was easy, everybody would do it. In business, there's a saying, well, starting a business and being successful in business, if it was easy, everybody would own their own business, but most people work for somebody else because it's not easy. It's a risk. I have great respect for people who venture out and take the risk. I have done that a number of times. It's hard. And there's that transition and those habits we talked about, and good habits and bad habits. And it's easy to have a great attitude when things are going good, right? Attitude doesn't become different, the difference maker, until you're challenged about your change. See, that's when the attitude of the change shows up, is when there's going to be something new. When you're entrenched in the comfort zone and God doesn't have you moving from one place or other, or he does and you're not responding, there's not a whole big problem about attitude. But when God comes into your life and says, listen, I want you to do something different, there's where the attitude shows up, right? How many times in the Bible, church, do you remember stories? I thought I could read so many scriptures here. And I thought, no, I'm not going to, because there's just too many. Where God came in and said, I want to move you from here to here. I'm going to give you one here in a few minutes. But the attitude shows up. So many stories in the Bible. What, me, God? I can't even speak. I'm a stutterer. Remember that story? I can't do that. I just can't do it. I'll help you. I'll give you somebody to go along with you. You can't. There's the excuses that God really has problems with. We can literally talk ourselves out of where God wants us to be. We can literally decide we're not going to do that. I like it when someone says, Pastor, I'm just going to pray about that. That's the answer. I'm going to pray about it, Pastor. That's okay. I'm okay with that. The prayers don't need to take 5 years. They don't need to take 12 months. I believe you get on your knees and you go to heaven, God will answer you. Pastor, I'm still praying about that life group, leading that life group. That was 3 years ago. I'm still praying. I'm a prayer. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm going to continue to pray. God's doing something different than he was doing 3 years ago. He's not waiting for you any longer, right? Don't be left behind. But I'm going to give you three big challenges of change, big ones. And here's the first one. The challenge of change You have to decide if your faith is part of your life or is your life. You have to decide if faith is part of it or all of it. Because what happens is we slide our faith into the areas where we say it's okay, and other areas we don't want to put it in there. Why? Because we think God may change our minds of what we want to do. Right? What's the story in the Bible? Head out to Nineveh. Head out. Just go out and preach. Just go do. You know the story of the whale. Come on, people know that story, right? Head out to this place. I'll even dumb it down even further. Head out there. I don't want to go there. I ain't going there. Nobody goes there. Nobody wants to go there. That ain't a good place to go. I don't want to go preach there. I'm not going to go there. They just look right. I ain't going to go there. Wow. We just talked ourselves right out of it. So God has to come in and change our mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the belly of a fish, whale, I'm sorry. But those decisions of, do you want to be only have your faith as part of stuff, or do you want it to be the all-encompassing part? Is that who you are, or do we slide our faith into areas that we want it to be or not want it to be? When faith is part of your lives, we control it. Here's a good quote. When the faith is part of your lives, you have control, right? But when faith is your life, it controls you. There's the difference. Wow, I was right. Thank you. When your faith is only being slid into areas that you want it to be, you are in control. But when faith is who you really are, and that encompasses your life, then you are no longer in control. A higher power, Jesus Christ, is in control. And there lies the attitude that we fight with and struggle with, and because guess what? We as humans don't like to give up control. We like to be in control. And some of us like to be in control more than others. Don't raise your hand. But that's the way it is. Right? And then during this transformation, when we have to give up control, something happens that we don't like that either. Pain happens. It's painful to give up control. We don't like to give up control. God wants to be in control. We as humans want to be in control. And that transformation causes some pain for us. Why? Not because the transformation is painful. It's losing control is the painful part. See, God wants to be in control of your life. We as humans and the enemy want us to be in control. It's just human nature, Pastor, for me to be in control. No, it's spiritually nature for God to be in control, as the heavens and the earth is controlled by the Lord thy God. And he has created us and wants us to do what he wants us to do, and he allows us to have some more decision-making authority or whatever, you know, and we can do that. We can make those decisions, and he allows that. We don't make good decisions sometimes, and sometimes we make great decisions. But that pain shows up because we're losing control. That's the pain you're feeling, right? That's the challenge in your life, is when we're trying to go from being in control to God being in control, and there's a painful process there. Why? There are two worlds competing for you, the spiritual world and the natural world. And that causes pain. Just pick up the word. You'll read about how much pain it really causes, right? Pain comes from removing ourselves from the focus of every decision and making our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ the focus. And why is that? Well, there's an inconvenience there, church. There's an inconvenience for you. There really is. Because now instead of just making this decision, you've got to go to a higher power in prayer. There's some inconvenience here. I got to pray about this, Pastor. I got to go and pray and spend some time and get on my knees, and I've got to go to heaven. And it's kind of inconvenient, but I'm going to do it because that's what I'm told to do. And so there's some inconvenience there, right? Come on, there is. We can make those quick decisions. We can make change really fast. But if you're not doing it through what the Lord wants you to do, if he's not telling you and directing you and guiding you, you know, and you're doing the decision-making part. And you have to go to heaven all the time. See, that's the difference. If you've got, if heaven is only a part of your life, as opposed to the all part, the whole thing, you have to go there all the time. It just feels like we have to go there for every little thing instead of just knowing because we're all included in part of the whole. You understand? You know, and I'm not saying we don't pray. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that when there's a challenge, a change in your life, there's a process. That process is going to be more painful if you don't have God as the center point of it and the focus of it. If he's not in control of it, that's why we have this feeling that I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I don't feel it. Pastor, I'm not feeling it. When God speaks to me and I know that I know that I know I'm going the right direction and that changes, I just don't have that feeling. The feelings I have are the unknowns, but the fact that I'm moving in that direction, I know. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I know the end result is what I'm supposed to do, but how I get there, as we talked about last week, how I get there is still a little foggy. And that's okay. So I pray about that, but the fact that I made a decision and God's leading me because he told me to do this, that is not what I question. Right? Because he is in control. There's some uneasiness about that whole process. There's some embarrassment about it. Embarrassment. Yeah, there's embarrassment because when your friend, your circle that we talked about last week, your circle of influence, and you start talking in that circle about what God's laying on your heart, there's some pushback if they're not believers. So we have non-believer friends, and that's great. You should. But there's pushback. Why? Because they don't understand the world you're living in. They don't understand who controls your life. So there's this pushback that you'll get, and there's some embarrassment because you'll have to speak openly, as I do, and I know you do. We have to speak openly about those things differently than what your friends or family that are not believers may speak. I've got to make this decision, or whatever that decision is. We talk like this. I got to pray about it. I got to seek heaven. God is in control. Christ is my Savior. He will direct my path. The steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord. I don't move until he tells me to take the step. You know, we talk like that. They don't talk like that. So there's some embarrassment because we have to speak that, and there's some ridicule that goes on. Really, there is. You know, it was in the Bible. People made fun of them, right? Same thing happens today. So we have some embarrassment, internal embarrassment, that we just kind of feel like, okay, there's this change, and I'm challenged by this change, but I've got to move forward anyways. And people don't mind if religion is part of our lives, okay? Like a hobby, because that's how they view it. Ah, it's a hobby. I'm okay with that, okay? But they get really uncomfortable and nervous when it becomes our life. Why is that? Because it starts to threaten them. The spiritual dimension starts to invade them. See, you talk in the, and you know, if your life and your decision is, your faith is only a part of your life, people can handle that. It's a hobby. That's where they see it. That's how they see it. But when they realize that it's not just part of your life, it is who you are, that threatens them. Because it might rub off. It might get on them, which is what you want, right? It might get on them a little bit. So my question to you today is, the challenge of change is, where is that faith of you today? Where do you live? Is your faith, your walk, just part of your life, or is it your life? And who controls it? If you sit here today and say, well, I control most of it, then that's part of your life. If you sit here today and say, Pastor, my whole life is in his control. I do nothing. He controls it all. That is where you want to live. Matthew 5:6 says it like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? They will be filled. You've got to hunger. You've got to have this hunger inside of you that he controls everything. He is the beginning and the ending of your life, and nothing happens without him moving on your heart to make it happen. Right? I don't want to step on toes, but listen to this. One of the reasons that congregations and churches don't grow, I serve on the Healthy Church Committee for the State of Ohio Assemblies of God, and so I'm okay to say this. One of the reasons we see that congregations don't grow over many years is because they expect the pastor to live the faith all-encompassing as part of their life, but they will only live it as part of their life. The lack of hunger and thirst for righteousness, they live on the faith of the pastor. Church, don't live on my faith, live on your faith. Let God be in control of your life, then the change isn't as painful. Right? When the church is filled with people whose faith is their life and not part of their life, the impact on the community is life-changing. That's why you hear your pastor preach and teach and focus on these things, because this is how you reach people. When the Church of Jesus Christ is filled with people that live it and let God control their life, they get influence around the community and your friends and your family and where you go and where you buy your cars and where you shop for food. It gets contagious and it rubs off. And you are the catalyst to do that. But if your faith is only part of your life, that process is much more difficult and much bigger because you're running the show and not heaven. Second challenge of change for us, and you've heard this one before, but get ready. Can your faith be trusted? Can my faith be trusted? Can my faith be trusted? James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face these trials, and many of you are facing those today, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work first, so you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Look what the scripture says in James. The testing of your faith produces something. Is there a testing of your faith? And can that test be trusted? Can God trust me? I asked myself that when I was doing my study this past week. I said, God, am I trustworthy? I was talking to Nicole, and I was talking about doing another week of the Practical Living Sermon Series on keys. And I said, you know, I don't want to belabor a sermon. And she looks me in the eye, she says, you do what God called you to do. Now, if I'm not afraid of God, I'm afraid of her. So, you know, I do what I'm told to do by God and my wife. So here we are, right? Here we are. And then the scripture tells me I have to consider this a pure joy as the process unfolds, to test my faith, to see if I can persevere. I make no moves, I go nowhere, I do nothing until the person that's in control of my life tells me to do it. And then I clap my hands and consider it a pure joy that he brought me through and tested me. Now, am I making that decision back to point one, or is he making that decision when I make a change? Who made that decision? Let me talk to you here a couple of minutes about some of the challenges of decisions that we have. We have the challenge of difficulty. It's just too difficult. Just can't do it. Pastor, I can't do it. It's just too difficult to do. What you're saying is God can't handle the difficulty. It's too big for me. It's too big for God. That means that you're living as your faith is only part of your life, and God is not the all-encompassing part. You are not living for him to be in control. You are living in control because it's just too difficult. I can't do it. What about the challenge of demands? It's too demanding, Pastor. I can't do that. I can't lead a life group, Pastor. It's just too demanding. Okay. Even if God lays on your heart to do it, yep, too demanding. I can't do it. Okay. Pray about that. The challenge of demands. I have so many demands on me, I just can't do the things of God anymore. If you have so many things on your plate, so much demands for your time and your energy, that you can't do the things that God wants you to do, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. Because the only thing the Bible says that's going to matter when you get to the other side is the things you did for the kingdom of God. Those things matter. What about the challenge of delay? God's going to make me wait. I've got to wait more? That's a challenge, Pastor. I got to wait. The challenge of delay. Hold on to that one because we're going to get back to that one. But here's another for you. The challenge of dollars. The challenge of dollars. I want to expand on that one a little bit. I'm not preaching about giving today, but I'm going to expand on that because this speaks to somebody or a few somebodies. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in the house. And then one of the times, a few times, if only time, that God says in the Word, test me on something. So the challenge of dollars gets a test. The test is, just do it. And see if the Lord God Almighty won't throw open the floodgates of heaven to pour out so many blessings, you don't even have room for them. See, I don't understand that challenge, church. I don't understand why people don't accept that challenge of dollars. I don't get it. It doesn't register with me. I just don't understand it because God himself says, just do it. Bring the tithe into the storehouse, which is the local church, and watch what I do. And we still don't do it. And we don't do it because our life is not controlled by heaven. Our life is controlled by me. And when my life is controlled by me, I don't trust heaven as much. I only trust heaven for these pieces of it. I don't trust heaven for the whole. And there's that pain we talked about in the very first challenge. There comes a situation. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. I don't have a favorite scripture, church, but if I had one, this is my top five. This is my top five. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. Is my faith trustworthy? Lord God, I hope, I know he can trust me. Is your faith trustworthy today? Even through the challenge of difficulty, through the challenge of demands, even in the challenge of dollars, all those, is your faith trustworthy? First thing I say to people when I counsel them and they're having all these difficult times and we talk about things and it comes up and I say, well, how are you in your giving? How are you? I don't do it, Pastor. I don't do it as much as I should. Well, and you want God to come in like a flood and save you and do all these things, and you're not even doing what God's asked you to do. And then we get into all those things, and we find out that there's a spiritual thing there more so. And then we wonder why we struggle. Number three, challenge of change. The third and last challenge of change, not recognizing when to move fast or when to move slow. I told you now, some of these are going to hit you right between the eyes. We call this one the challenge of delay. Back to that. I just mentioned the challenge of delay. Wait, wait, and wait longer. Hurry up and wait. And here's the story that I'll give you. In Genesis 15 through 17, there's this guy named Abram, and we know him that became Abraham later. We talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, he wanted to have a child. The inheritance. You know the story. Back in the Old Testament, the person that was born first, the male, would get the inheritance. And he wanted a son. And God says, I'll give you a son. And here's his response. I'm old. My lady is old. We're just old. Well, what you're saying to God is, you're too old for God. You're just too old. I can't do anything for God because I'm just too old. That's what you're saying. Pastor, I'm too old to do that ministry. Really? Probably be 90 plus and have a baby. Right? Okay, right. God, don't call me to have a child when I'm 90. Right? Like, oh, God, get it. Right? And so he didn't wait. He just kind of went on his own, right? God didn't bless that child the way he blessed Isaac. He didn't bless the child like the birthright. Because we got in God's way. We got in God's way. God had this plan that we got because we had this decision the way that we weren't seeing it happen. So we go out and we do our own thing. What you're doing there is we're trying to force God's hand. In church, you can't force God's hand. In fact, when we try to force God's hand, he makes us wait even longer. We tend to dictate our speed towards fast when God tends to lean towards slow and steady. We want it today, right? You heard it. You flip out the phone, you get it instantaneously, and God is slow and steady, and Pastor Brad is fast. Hurry up. I want it now. God tends to be slow and steady. I call that slow down to speed up. Pace yourself. Slow down and you speed up. Why? You see a lot more. My wife and I like to ride the motorcycle, but we like to tootle along. Because we want to see the stuff, right? Slow and steady. And she won't let me go over 50. So we just kind of drive down the, you know. Then we get too fast and she just, you know, in the back, you know, for those who ride, you know, that's not real good. But slow down. But the faster we go, the less we see. The slower we go, the more we see, the more we can enjoy. The safer it is, she says, too, and I agree with that. But we see more stuff. Because slow and steady allows me to digest and take in what's going on. Fast and furious, I just was trying to get to the finish line, but I don't know how I got there. And I enjoyed nothing when I arrived. And sometimes I didn't even win. There's two types of recognizing whether to move fast or slow. Here they are. I call them like this. I call them shock and awe. You heard that years ago during the war. Shock and awe. Hit them hard and fast. When we'll just move so fast, God's just in the house and he's going to shock everybody. He's going to do, you know, not too many times in the Bible that God does it like that. I'm not saying he didn't do it like that, but not too many times. He did it more slow and steady most of the time. Or here's the second one, and this is the more important one. Slow and grow. See, as I'm tooling along on my motorcycle, I can see stuff, and I can remember that stuff. When we get home, we say, remember that old building we saw or that old barn that said this on it or out in the country? We remember. But when we go really fast, we don't see that stuff. Right? So those are the big three. If you need to get those again, you'll have to go online and listen to the sermon again. But I'm going to ask our music team to come forward at this time, and but I do want to leave you with a couple questions like I did last week. And if you remember last week, here's a couple questions I asked you talking about comfort zones. I said, how many would say they're stuck in a comfort zone? You know, 17 people raised their hand. I feel like I'm stuck in a comfort zone. Stuck in a comfort zone. 17 people in the small church raised their hand. And then I said, how many would commit today to move out of that comfort zone and seek a new season? They raised their hands again. More so. So people were recognizing that they're in this place. But what's the challenge of that change? I just gave you the big three challenges of your change. I just gave those to you. I gave you the three challenges to that change coming out of your comfort zone. Deciding if your faith is a part of your life or is your life. Where do you stand? Who's in control? That's the first one. Second one, can your faith be trusted? Can your faith be trusted? Can my faith be trusted? And then the last one was not recognizing how to move, whether you're moving fast or slow. I think it's a slow and grow process. I really do. Sometimes a shock and awe comes in there, but most of the time I think it's a slow and steady growth. Right? The challenge of moving out of your comfort zone is the change associated with it. That's why so many people miss new seasons of God. Change and challenges in our life are just inevitable. It's part of life. So I would rather embrace it and go along with it than be left behind. Because the Bible says there are new seasons, always. And I don't want to be left back in the desert because I'm afraid to move forward and be challenged with the new season that God has for me. And sometimes when we have these decisions to make, you just, those challenges, right? Do I even do it? And if you don't have 100% comfort level inside, you just wait. That's the challenge of that delay. You got to wait. Got to wait. Hold steady. Don't make a change until the person that's in control of your life says, okay, now it's time to go. And sometimes, church, and I'm going to just say it like this, sometimes it's harder to remain where you're at until God says march forward than it is just to shock and awe and go forward and just do it anyways. Sometimes it's just harder. Sometimes God does make you wait and hold off and don't move forward. But he's the one that's in control. And I've seen people make changes in their lives because they wanted to make the change in their life. And that is me. I've done that. I've moved forward on stuff, and God has not given me a clear direction to go. And I did it anyways. Catastrophic failure. Every time. But every time God says, okay, now it's time. I can never look back. I can never say ever that I move forward on something and change something that God told me to do that I look back and say that was wrong. Never happened. Never. It's never happened to me. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads today. There's no one looking around, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions today like I did last week. I'm hoping that I'm challenging you today. But here's your first question. How many here would say they are just absolutely ready for something new from God? If that is you, raise your hand. If you are ready for something new from heaven, raise your hand. Put it up high so I can see it. I want to pray for you. Once you put your hand up, you can put your hand back down. I see those hands on both sides. Wow, all those hands. You are ready for something new from heaven. Now, what you've just done, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. What you have just done is waved a flag, a banner to heaven, and you just told God, you said, God, here I am ready. So you just confessed your availability. I should have no problem getting three people to lead a life group in this church. All those hands that went up. You confess your availability. Here's the next question for you. Now, this is the bigger question. The first one is easy. Here's the big one. How many here are willing to be challenged to get it? Are you willing to be challenged to get it? Raise your hand. I see those hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. 10 hands. You are ready to be challenged. Now you have raised your hand and you said, God, here I am. You waved the banner and said, pick me. And then you raised your hand again and said, okay, I know there's going to be some pain. There's going to be a challenge there, but I'm ready for it. Here we go. Church, stand with me. We're going to go out on a good note, big note. God's going to find you now since you raised your hand, and he's going to challenge you. So when a situation comes into your life in the next few days or next week, you remember that you raised your hand at Calvary Church on Sunday, September 1st, and you said, God, here I am. And you accepted the challenge to be challenged. So when it shows up, remember the sermon of today. Remember the 3 points. And if you need to hear those again, go back and listen to them online. Can your faith be trusted today? You raised your hand. Can your faith be trusted? Is God in control or are you in control? Let's sing and close together. Sing a little louder.